You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Let me give start off by giving a big hand to all of the dads in the room today. Can we give all of our dads a big hand? Thank them for being here. I love my dad. My dad taught me a lot of the stuff that they talked about up there. Great dad. Not perfect, and I think that's good. I think sometimes if you think your dad's perfect, it makes it very hard to live up to that standard. But when you understand that your dad's not perfect, but that he works really hard, then I think that's great. My wife and I were talking this week about our kids and how much they will remember, and we want our kids to be grateful of all that they get. And I told her, I said, you know, they won't be grateful until they're older, until they're even teenagers. I said, I don't even think teenagers really grasp all that their parents do for them. And it wasn't until I was much older, until I, you know, had my own job, my own family. And it seems like every day I realize how much my dad did for my family and how grateful. I've become more and more grateful every day for my dad. And some of you grew up in homes where you didn't have dads. And so I know that's that makes this day kind of difficult. But let me tell you something. Here's a great thing about church. Church is full of dads and moms and grandmas and granddads and aunts and uncles. And that's the point of church. The point of church is to be a family in a place where if you don't have a dad or you don't have a mom, that somebody else will step up and they will take charge and be that for you. And so we appreciate all of our dads, whether actual dads or spiritual dads or even the old spiritual uncle, that guy that just gives you a kick in the pants every so often when you need it. Amen? How many of y'all had those? When I was growing up, you know, you got spankings by your parents. But then, like, if you did something really dumb and someone else in church saw you, they could spank you too. And then if your parents found out about it, they'd spank you again. Like I just went through life dodging people. Like, my whole childhood, it was just a series. That's why now I think I'm kind of a quicker person, because I learned how to dodge spankings all the time just because everybody in the church thought they were my parents. If you would, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to get started with our message today. Today we're continuing a series called This Is Life, and it's based loosely on a small group that we do twice a year called Life. And that small group is called Life. It's an acronym for Living in Freedom Every Day. So if you need notes today, we got some people got some notes. I thought people had cards earlier, but apparently I was wrong. I've been gone for a week, and they changed stuff while I'm not here. So we do have notes if you need notes today. But we're doing this thing called Life, and it's called Living in Freedom Every Day. And it's all about closing the doors on your past and opening up the doors of purpose in your future. Because we believe God's got something for you, but a lot of times we get trapped by our past. Jesus said this. He said, nobody can plow a field and look back at the same time. Why? Because the lines get all jacked up, right? And so we can't always be looking at our past. We've got to be able to push forward and go forward. And so so this series is kind of an intro to that small group. And then what we want to do is, we would love for everybody that has not been through it, and there may be some of you that have been through it and you want to do it again, but we'd love for you to sign up for a Life small group this fall. So I'm giving you a little intro over the next few weeks about that. But today I want to give you a message called Protect This House. Protect this house. I'm wearing my Under Armour shirt today. I know it doesn't look like an Under Armour shirt, probably because I'm not big enough to fill it out. Like, some of you other guys could probably put it on and look a lot better than me. But this is an Under Armour shirt, and I like Under Armour. And the thing about Under Armour is this. They have a slogan called that says, Protect This House. And it's all about the sports theme, and it's all about, you know, protecting home field. I'm a big Miami Heat fan, and we did not protect the house over the week. Like, we really struggled. As a matter of fact, it looked like Miami didn't even show up. It's like a bunch of third graders came out there and kicked the basketball around. I was on vacation this week, and I would go out to see the score, and Perry would say, look, if you want to stay, if you want to watch the game, we can watch the game. And we went on a cruise, like I said earlier, our first cruise ever, and on the cruise ship, they had a giant screen, like a movie screen. And the nights that the Heat played, because the Crews came out of Fort Lauderdale, obviously a lot of Miami fans, and so they would play the game up there. And I would walk out like of our little area where we were, I'd walk out, I'd look at the big screen, and I'd be like, yeah, I think there's something else we can do. You know, like, I'm pretty sure there's a show we can go watch. And I don't even like musicals, but I preferred to go watch a musical than watch that game. It was that bad. So we went and did that and had a lot of fun. And I want to thank everybody for allowing us to go. Man, this church is so awesome to allow us to be gone and have fun and then be able to come back and get to hang out with you guys. It's so good. We did miss you guys somewhat. And so we're glad to be back. I'm just teasing. I did miss some of you guys for real. But one of the things we did when we left to go on our trip, the last thing we did when we walked out the door was we entered the code in the alarm system on our house, right? Punched in the numbers, the secret numbers nobody knows except my kids have figured it out and I'm afraid they're going to tell everybody. But we punched in the secret number and then the alarm was set and then we left. Why did we do that? Right? Why do we do that? We do that because we want to protect our house. We want to protect our house. And we all have different ways of protecting our homes, right? And protecting our stuff. Like everybody's got their way. Some people are dog people, right? And they've got dogs in their home to protect their house. I remember when I was a kid and we lived in Guatemala, people would take stakes and inject them with rat poison and throw them over the wall. And then the guard dogs would eat the stakes and then fall asleep for a long time, right? And then people would break into the home. So there's a way to get around that. And then you got alarm systems is another way. In our home, we don't do dogs. We do alarm systems. We do shotguns. And I've got a shotgun, and I got it for Christmas specifically for home defense. Not that I probably really need it, but I just think it's cool to have a shotgun in my house. And it's got like skulls on the stock, and it's called the Reaper. I love it because I feel like if someone breaks into my house and I'm going to introduce them to Jesus, whether in verbally or in person, like either way doesn't matter to me, like, but someone's going to get shot. So, I've got the shotgun and you guys are thinking, oh, he's just big talk. Except my sister-in-law is here and, she knows I'm not big talk. So, cause one time she came into our house and we forgot that she was coming over and set the alarm off when we lived in Mobile and set the alarm off. And the first thing I did was grab my gun. Not the Reaper at the time, I didn't have it, but I had a pistol, and I went running, and just as I was about to shoot my sister-in-law, my wife said, "It's Wendy!" And I went, "Oh, God, help me!" And I just fell on the bed. You know, like, I was like that close to having to preach a funeral and then go to prison. So we've got, that's not good, but anyway, so we do a lot of stuff to protect our homes. We do a lot of stuff, and some of you guys are like, you know, I don't believe in guns, but you believe in like baseball bats, and that's great, and some of you believe in like just putting a chair under the door handle. I'm not even sure exactly how that works, but we do different things. The problem is sometimes we go to such lengths to protect our home physically from intruders that we forget that there's always a spiritual warfare going on that we don't see. The Bible calls it a battle in the heavenlies. The Bible says it's spiritual. And he says there's a battle always happening for our lives. Jesus said it best. He said, your enemy is the devil. It is Satan. And your enemy is like a lion seeking those he can devour. Paul said this, James said this, somebody said it. Somebody in the Bible, who knows? They said, don't give the devil a foothold. In other words, if you've ever been rock climbing, you know like a real rock climber, not like me, like I need steps and ladders to rock climb, but real rock climbers, they only need a small, just a little space to put their fingertips to be able to climb. And the Bible tells us, don't let the enemy, the devil, even have a foothold into your life. That's all he needs. He doesn't need much. And so there's a spiritual battle going on. And while we're so busy protecting our house from intruders, we forget that there's a demonic influence that wants to invade our lives, that wants to invade our families and our homes. And so there's a battle that we must partake in. We must protect the house. We must protect the house. How do we do that, Pastor? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 10, and I just want to read for a second. And this is what Paul is saying to us. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In other words, it doesn't matter so much about your strength. It matters that you have his strength operating in you in the strength of his might. And we talked earlier, how do we get that strength? That's by being rooted and grounded in love. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Let me pause right there. 2 weeks ago, I was able to preach a message to you guys, and it was about the devil's schemes. And I talked to you about the killer whales and how the killer whales will figure out a plan on how to attack different animals within the ocean. And the devil is a lot like that. We think that he is just brute force straight at the front door. But in reality, the devil has schemes, plans, agendas. And there's different ways that he wants to inch his way into your life. And I told you guys 2 weeks ago about a friend of mine that thought his way of dealing with stress, and this guy's a pastor, and he thought his way of dealing with stress was to go to a bar and drink. And he said, you know, the Bible doesn't say I can't drink. It says I can't get drunk. And he justified that in his mind, and he goes to the bar, and he's drinking. And as he's drinking, a woman approaches him and begins to talk to him about possibly going away and having sex and doing things that he shouldn't be doing. Now listen, am I going to tell you that if you drink a beer that next thing you know you're going to commit adultery on your wife? I'm not going to tell you that. But what I'm going to tell you is the enemy is not stupid, and he's got a plan for your life. And he knows if he can get you off track just a little bit, if he can just get an inch, if he can just get a little bit of room to work with, that he's got a whole plan to bring you down. The Bible says that he is here to kill, steal, and destroy. We must protect the house. As a dad, it is my responsibility to protect my wife and my children. Not just from invaders, but I want to protect their hearts. I want to protect what God has called holy. I want to protect their calling and their destiny and their purpose. I want to protect them from every attack of the enemy. And there's some of you are saying, well, I'm not a dad, so that doesn't apply to me. Can I tell you today, we all share the responsibility of protection. If you live by yourself and you don't have a dad anymore, you can't say, well, I'm just unprotected, nothing I can do. No, we are all called to that. So let's keep reading. The Bible says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And he goes on to tell us the scripture that some of you may have heard if you grew up going to church or going to Sunday school about the whole armor of God. It says, put on the whole armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth and the shield of faith. And then it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Pray. So how do we protect the house? We're going to talk about that for just a second. We're going to talk about how we protect and what are the weapons? What are the, you know, in the physical world, we may have an alarm system and a shotgun and a chihuahua. What do we have in the spiritual to be able to protect the spiritual life and atmosphere in our home? 1 Peter 2:9, I want to read this to you. And then we'll go on, and if you got your notes, get ready to take notes. I've got these coming. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A few months ago, I was reading, and I came across this story in the Old Testament, and it was the story of Moses, and Moses had brought God's people, the Israelites, had brought them out of Egypt. And whenever he brought them out of Egypt, Moses had to go talk to God for a little while. Well, while he was gone, some people began to stir up trouble and contention. And they began to say that, hey, Moses is gone, so we need to serve another God. Why don't we make a God out of gold and serve that God? The downside of that was, Moses, while he was gone, was getting commandments from God. And like the commandment said, don't serve any other gods and don't make any images like out of gold. And so like while these people are, God's giving Moses all the instructions, these people are already breaking them. Like he hadn't been gone 5 minutes and they've broken all the instructions. And so Moses comes back. And when Moses comes back, he finds Israel just going nuts, right? So the Bible says that Moses comes down and he gets a bunch of men together to fight against the insurrectionists, to go against these people that are trying to bring everybody down, to clean house, right? To protect what was holy. And he gets these guys and says, strap on your swords and go out and fight. And they did, and they won and killed 3,000 people. But here's what I thought was interesting about that story, is that Moses didn't say, find the toughest warriors, right? He didn't say, go get the biggest, strongest dudes we can find to fight for us. The Bible says that he looked at the priests, the preachers, the pastors, the holy men. He looked at them and said, boys, pull out your swords. It's time to fight. And I thought that was interesting. I thought, well, God, what does that have to do with me? And why am I reading this? And why did that stand out to me? And it was like God showed me, hey, I called every man the priest of the home. And we think the word priest means some guy in a robe with a backwards collar with a little smoke pot walking around, right? And that's not what the biblical priest was all about. Apparently, the biblical priest was armed. He had a sword. He was ready for battle. He was ready to protect all that was good, godly, and holy. He was there ready. And I thought, God, what are you saying? And it was like God was showing me that as men, as dads, as the priest, husbands, as the priest of the home, we can't just operate with this meek and mild mentality. We must operate like these priests did, saying at whatever cost, I'm going to remove any objection to what is holy, any attack to what God has claimed as holy, whether that's my kids, my wife, my home, whatever it is. And these men pulled out a sword and they attacked. And I thought, God, that's for us. We need to be men that are willing to go on the attack. We need to be men that are willing to go after the enemy, not to sit back and wait for the enemy to come to us. We need to be willing to protect. And so as I was studying that, and then God took me to that verse that I just read out of 1 Peter 2:9, where it said, you are a holy, you are holy, he says, you are a royal priesthood. And he talks about royalty. The Bible also says in Revelation that we are kings and priests. So I got to thinking, how do I protect my home? How do I protect all that is holy? I do it by being a king and a priest. I do it by not just being the spiritual head, but also being the king. And so I started making my kids and my wife call me king. And I like that. If you're a dad in here today, I'm just going to tell you, you can do that. It's okay. It probably won't work out like it does in your head, but I just have to pretend my kids call me that. So here's the thing. As a king, as a priest, what do we do? How do we operate like that? And again, for those of you that aren't dads, it's okay. Don't sweat it, because you've got to operate. Some of you are single moms, and you've got to operate as both all the time too, right? You've got to do it. And some of you guys, you're a teenager, and you're saying, I'm not a king or priest. I'm not a dad. I'm not a mom. I'm nothing. You know, I'm just a kid. I'm a teenager. And let me tell you about you as a teenager. It's so important that you still protect all that is holy. See, God's put something inside of you, a calling, a destiny, a purpose. He's put something holy in you, and you've got to protect it. You've got to protect it. So how do we do that? Well, here's the thing that I feel like God showed me. Two things. One was that kings have authority. Kings have authority. Have you ever noticed that? Like a king, like in the Bible, or maybe in the fairy tales that you've read, like kings have authority. And all they had to say was, King Gabriel said this, and it happened, right? I've never read a story of King Gabriel, but it should be there. As a matter of fact, in England, the kings had such authority in England that's why, like, we get the idea of an inch. Like, where did we get inch? Where did we get foot? You know where we got it? We got it because it was measurements from the king at that time. And that's why it doesn't always work, because it used to be it would change with every king. And so they would call, like, a foot, how long is a foot? Well, who's the king? How big is this foot? You know, like it just, that it was this big or it was this big. Like, it doesn't, like, that's how we measure things. That's how much authority the king had, that he affected everyday life. And so where do we get our authority? How do we have authority? You don't just claim authority. You don't just say you have authority. You have to get authority from somewhere, right? So where do we get authority? So in your notes, number one, our highest authority comes from the name of Jesus. our highest authority is in the name of Jesus. And let me just read this. Philippians 2:10 says, it says that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Now we read earlier that we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle in the spiritual. How do we battle? How do we have authority? We do that through the name of Jesus. And look, it's not just the name. Like sometimes we focus on that word name and we think of, hello, my name is, right? We think of my name having authority. Look, if it's the name Jesus, if it's the name Jesus, then all of Latin America, South Central America would never have demons operating. Why? Because there's like so many people named Jesus down there, right? And so it's not just the name Jesus. It is the authority behind the name. It is the authority attached to the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is not abracadabra magic word. I said this in the first service. It's not a matter of if I say the name Jesus, then all of a sudden, you know, somebody's arms just don't work and they can't function. It's not a magic word. It's authority behind it. It would be no different than if you were putting up the chairs, if you were helping put up the chairs, and someone were to come up to you and they were to say, hey, man, I think Josh said that you shouldn't be putting up the chairs. Well, if they told you that, you don't know who Josh is, and you're just like, what? I don't know who Josh is, but I was told to put up the chairs, so I'm putting up the chairs. But if they came up to you and they said, hey, Pastor Gabriel said, don't put up the chairs. Not that I'm all that special, but in this house, I carry authority because I have a title and I know what's going on. And so you would stop putting up the chairs because you'd say, okay, well, Pastor Gabriel said so. Wow, what happened? What was the difference? There was a name, but the name had authority with it. There's a name Jesus, and it carries authority with it. And whenever you're facing a battle in the spiritual, you can use the name of Jesus. And the Bible says every knee will bow. In other words, everything will come under submission to authority. Demons operate under authority. We read stories in the Bible about a guy who had a legion of demons, a whole bunch of demons. He was jacked up. And he came to Jesus. The first thing he did was bow down. Why? Because he recognized authority. So you can operate in that same authority. The second thing is this. We have the authority in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and powerful. Whenever we use the Word of God, we go on the offensive and we have authority in the Word of God. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 says, it is written. That comes from a story where Jesus is in battle, in conflict with Satan. And every time Satan would tempt him, he would back that up with, it is written. Every time Satan would punch, Jesus had a counterpunch with, it is written. He always brought out the Word of God because the Word of God carries authority with it. And the enemy can't diffuse that. That's an attack he can't stop. So whenever you're praying, whenever you're seeking God, whenever you're trying to defend your home, you use the name of Jesus and you use the Word of God. People say all the time, they're like, Pastor, how do I pray? Like what do I pray in this situation? And I always take them back to the Word. What does the Bible say about that? Pray the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. That's why I tell people all the time, it's so important that you get the Word inside of you. You know, whenever the devil confronted Jesus and said, you know, try to tempt him to do things, Jesus didn't say, hold on for a minute, let me get out my phone and look at my Bible app, right? What did he do? He began to just quote the Word of God. It just came out of him. Why? Because it was in him already. The more you read the Word, the more you consume the Word, the more it's in you, and then whenever you need it, you've got it. You've got it right there handy. The next authority, the third authority is that we're given by the blood of Jesus or the cross. Same thing, it's the sacrifice of Christ carries power. The sacrifice of Christ carries power. In the Old Testament, whenever they sacrificed a lamb, the blood of that lamb carried the power to dissolve, to eliminate the sin of the nation. Well, whenever we have Christ, Christ is that ultimate sacrifice. And now all of a sudden, his blood, his sacrifice, the cross, it carries the power, the authority, the weight to dissolve, to eliminate the attacks of the enemy. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let me give you the last three things that we need to do, more practical here, and that is this. A priest is going to protect. So how do we protect the house? What do we need to do? What does Gabriel Wright need to do today to protect his home from spiritual attack? If the Bible says that there's a war going on in the spiritual, what do I need to do to fight that battle? Number one, we need to submit ourselves to God. James 4, 7 and 8 says this, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Submit to God. This brings up the thought to me one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the story of the seven sons of Sceva. I share it every opportunity I get. It's found in the book of Acts, and it's the story of these seven brothers who decided they saw what all the apostles were doing. They saw what the disciples of Christ were doing, and they were like, "Man, that is really cool. We want to do that." The downside is they never submitted themselves to God. They had no relationship with God, and therefore their claim to authority carried no weight. And so they go up, these seven brothers go into this house where there was this guy, the Bible says, was possessed of a devil, and they go in and they tell the guy, they're like, "In the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, we cast you out." And the Bible says that the man looked at him and laughed. It didn't say laugh, but I think he did. And he looked at him and he said this, "Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul, but I don't know who you fellows are." And it says he proceeded to beat the tar out of them, so much so that he stripped them naked, all seven of them, and sent them out of the house, the Bible says, bloody and naked, running for their lives. I just think that's hilarious. Like, these dudes thought they were something, and at the end of the day, they were nothing, and they were naked and bleeding. And so they went running out of the house naked and bleeding, and here's the point. The point is they thought they had authority because they used the name, but they didn't have authority because they weren't submitted to God. Today, some of you are facing battles, man. You're going through conflict in the spiritual, and it may be emotional. It may be an attack on your mind. It may be an attack of fear, or maybe an attack of doubt. But you're going through a battle today, and the problem is you're not submitted to God. And so your prayers don't carry a whole lot of weight. And we need to give ourselves over to God. The Bible says whenever we do that, we can resist the devil, and he'll flee. He'll run away from us. It's not a matter of us running away from him. The second thing is this, we got to close any open doors. Now, I don't have time to go through it, but make a note, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, and go all the way to chapter 5, verse 7. And basically what Paul says here in this chapter is, he basically says this, get rid of anything that would be an open door for the enemy. He says, in your anger, don't sin. So he talks about anger. He says, don't even let there be a hint of sexual immorality. In other words, I love the way they say hint there, because it's like, don't even let there be a taste of it. In other words, remove all signs of sexual immorality and of greed and of lust and foolish talk. And he just goes through this whole list. It's not a list of hey, don't do this and do this. It's not one of those kind of lists. It's a list where he's trying to explain to you that the enemy doesn't need a lot of room, and you need to make sure that you close all the doors. It would be foolish for me to leave my house for a week, set the alarm, and leave all the doors and windows open, right? Because the enemy just comes in. Like, people can just walk in my house, get my stuff, and walk out. The alarm doesn't do me any good. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are closing all spiritual doors. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, it means this. If you've struggled with lust in your life, maybe you shouldn't have internet in your home. Maybe you need to cut cable. Maybe you don't need to have Cinemax or HBO. Is there something wrong with Cinemax and HBO? No, not inherently. I mean, I'm not saying those are of the devil, but I am saying this. If you've got a problem, why would you allow that in? Right? Think about it like this. What if your dad had a problem or your granddad had a problem? You know, the Bible talks about these things called generational curses. And in other words, we've seen that happen in people's lives, that granddad was an alcoholic and dad was an alcoholic. And so now here I come. Why would I allow that into my life? Why would I allow alcohol into my home if I know that there's been this issue through generations? I don't want any open doors, man. I don't want any open doors. There may be sometimes in your life, certain TV shows. There was one time I was watching this TV show, And it was one of those things, a Netflix show. And someone said, man, it's a good show. You need to watch it. And I turned it on. And for whatever reason, and I'm not even going to say the name of the show, because some people would think I'm being down on them for watching it. It's not that at all. For whatever reason, that particular show stirred up thoughts inside of me. And I said, that's an open door in my life. I've got to shut that down. I can't watch that. Like, for other people, it may not be bad. But for me in my life, I've got to take account of what I can allow in. And that's not one of those things I can allow in. At some point, we have to learn to close the doors. There's a great book in the Bible called Nehemiah. If you get a chance to read it, read it. And it's a story of a guy named Nehemiah. And he was commissioned to go back to Israel. Jerusalem had been destroyed. And a friend of his named Ezra had rebuilt the temple. But the problem was the walls around the city were broken down. And so people would just come in and steal from the temple or do things to the temple. And so Nehemiah's job was to go in and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem to keep the enemies out. Sometimes we come in here and we give our heart to Jesus Christ and we say, I want to live for God. And sometimes we come in and we get convicted about something and we say, I'm gonna have victory over this time. But we never build the walls. We never close the doors. And the enemy has free access to just come in and out of our life. Learn to close the doors in your life. The last one is this. We need to confront the enemy daily. Understand that there is a battle happening, and it's up to you, and especially dads, it's up to you to confront the enemy daily. I've got this bag. I went to the Under Armour store and bought my boys some shirts on sale. And I love this bag because it says, protect this house, period. And it stops right there. And at the bottom it says, I will separately with a period. And I like that thought because it's like they're saying, this is the commission, protect the house. This is the objective, protect the house. But then in a whole separate statement, it says, I will. I will. I believe this today. I believe that God is looking for men, especially men in their homes. I believe God is looking for men, but He's looking for men and women. The Bible says to stand in the gap, to come in and say, I will protect this house. God's putting out a call and He's saying, protect the house. And He's wanting somebody to stand up and say, I will. I will. I'll protect the house. I'll protect my kids. I'll protect my wife. For teenagers, I'll protect my purity. I will protect my calling and my destiny and my purpose. I will. But sometimes we don't. How do we protect the house, Pastor? The Bible says this. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divine. But have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Ephesians 6 says, 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities. We said that already in spiritual powers. But verse 18 says, how do you do it? By praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication. Supplication is another word for prayer. So how do we protect the house? Somebody commits to say, I will pray. I will pray. I will pray to protect my home. I will pray to protect my wife and my kids. I will pray to protect my church, my family. I will pray. I will wage war in the spiritual. What do I pray, Pastor? Pray the word. But I don't know that much of it. Well, read some more and pray what you know. Pray what you know. Some of you guys like guns. Who likes guns in here? Am I the only redneck in the room? Awesome. Yes, 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 yes. I love guns. I love guns. But you know what? I've got a 12-gauge shotgun, but my dad didn't start me out with a 12-gauge shotgun. You know what he started me out with? My first gun was a BB gun, right? And you learn how to operate, how to be safe, how to use the idea of the gun. And then from the BB gun, then he moved me up to the 12-gauge shotgun. And it blew my little arm off, and they had to sew it back on. I'm just kidding. He moved me up to a 22 and then a 410. And then, you know, he elevated me as I grew and matured. There's some of you that sit out there and you say, I'm not very much of a Christian. I've just been serving God for, you know, a year, 2 years. I've just been a Christian for a short amount of time. Can I tell you something today? God doesn't care how long you've been a Christian. He just cares that you're waging war. He cares that you are confronting the enemy. He cares that you are closing the doors. You don't have to know a lot to pray. You don't have to know a lot to pray.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.